Welcome back to a brand new bonus episode of Too Many Trailers. My name's Kelsey.
I'm Marianne, and this is...
We haven't done a bonus episode in... What's that song?
What is that right here?
What is that?
Phil!
The actor guy. Acting rules. Actor guy.
Phil.
So I think that theme...
Is that theme of our bonus?
I think that might be the theme of our bonus, because guess what, Marianne? Guess what we're just talking about this week?
What are we talking about in this bonus?
We're just talking about trailers that star our favorite orator,
Bill Nighy! My favorite person on the planet, arguably. Arguably my favorite person on this planet that I haven't met yet.
Yeah, better answer.
How about that?
I think that's a much better answer. So this week we'll be discussing the trailers for Emma.
And Sometimes, Always, Never.
Which I think are very two different...
Two very different ranges of Bill's acting abilities. And also just two very different movies.
Both are true. was Orator's first podcast.
Bill's first podcast.
Oh my god.
Well, Bill's first bonus.
Bonus.
Bill's first, themed bonus episode of our podcast.
I feel like there'll be, a lot more once he does more movies.
This could be true. We could go back into his, catalog. He's done some pretty great stuff, as you all know.
As you all sat through.
My many Bill connections.
Oh, the many Bill connections that we have. All right, so.
What did you do first?
I did Emma first.
So did I.
It's almost like we planned this.
It's almost like we've been best friends for almost 15 years.
Oh, God.
You're welcome. I'm so happy I brought that up, aren't you?
I love feeling old.
Hey, if you want to look at my side,
dead silence.
You're not as old as Bill Nighy.
That's very true.
And look at all the amazing stuff he's still doing.
He's still doing it. Look at that Bill Nighy.
Look at Bill go.
Look at Bill go.
It's like a children's book. Go, Bill, go!
What is Bill doing? We don't know.
Bill makes movies.
Bill likes to jump off stairs in a very Bill Nighy fashion, which I cannot wait to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
So let's get into our first trailer, which is for Emma, with a period, remember?
It's very important.
Very important. Which, I don't know how to feel about it, but...
It's okay.
It's okay. It's a title.
So, I think... Have we talked about this on the podcast before? That I really love Jane Austen?
No, I really don't.
I don't think we have.
I think this is a new segment. It's Book Talk with Marianne and Kelsey.
Book Talk!
Book Talk!
So, Emma is based on the Jane Austen novel of the same name. And then, before this, there have been other adaptations... of it just as Emma. There's Clueless, which is an adaptation of Emma.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Yes.
Now. Yes.
So Clueless is like the modernized version
it's
of Emma.
It's like the 10 Things I Hate About You is the same thing as Twelfth Night, essentially.
Yes. Not Twelfth Night.
Taming of the Shrew. Twelfth Night is...
the other one.
With Gwyneth Paltrow. And yes, she won the Oscar for that
film. Shakespeare in Love.
Yes, thank you. That's
You're
Twelfth
welcome.
Night. Thank you. Okay, yes.
So it's been done a bunch of times before, and so the most recent version is Clueless, and other versions from further back, I'm sure BBC
has done. I'm sure, has seven different types. Miniseries, feature films, one-hour specials for some reason.
We could cram it into an hour.
Yeah, we can do it. Let's just, take out all the best parts.
Emma's also a longer novel.
It's, a thick novel. It's a THICC novel. It's, it's a hefty, book.
It's, longer than, Sense and Sensibility and Pride and Prejudice.
Mansfield Park.
No, Mansfield Park is longer.
Longer? Good to know.
But anyway. Emma's pretty long. But it's good. So this is... A newer adaptation.
Newer adaptation.
Very excited about it.
I
Emma is very sassy and witty.
We'll discuss that because, like, there's a lot that goes on in, yes. like, even, like, the teaser trailer that, like, or the 1 minute 37 official whatever trailer that is. For me, Jane Austen is, like, not really, as much to Marianne's dismay, it's not really one of my favorite writers. I'm more, like, as I say to whenever I talk about, like, classics with, like, people, everyone has their favorite classics author, and, like, everyone that tries to read outside of their classics comfort zone really can't get into it, at least from what I've seen. Again, there could be that one person that just devours classics like it's a burger. However,
that was a really interesting description, but I liked it. Thank you.
But yeah, I've read Pride and Prejudice. It's not like I haven't read Austen. It's just not one of my favorite things books
to do.
However, I do think a lot of the Austen adaptations I see on screen are very captivating because they manage to take the dialogue and kind of move it along. I have a lot of issues with pacing in reading, and a lot of the times the reason why I like my classics is because they're short stories rather than just one long novel.
And so. I think a lot of with Austen is that a lot of people pull a lot of her dialogue because she's known for, like, really good dialogue
and
writing.
And her dialogue
and
is
then, like,
really
everything
good.
Else
it's just like,
is, like, you know,
all right, let's keep moving. Keep that train alive.
Let's talk a little less about the field.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as many classics do.
Yes, exactly.
So for this adaptation, there's a female writer and director.
Yes, so the director is Autumn de Wilde. And the writer is Eleanor Cadden, and it's obviously based off the book by Jane Austen. So we have a book based off of a female writer and a female scriptwriter, as well as a female director.
And
it's amazing.
The composer is there's two composers.
Oh,
one is a guy.
Okay,
and then one is a girl, and you know who it is?
Who?
I didn't even know this person was a composer. I didn't even know this person existed. Sorry, this is a lot of lead-in. Her name is Isabel Waller-Bridge. Sound familiar?
Wait,
she's
yes,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge's sister.
Boom. Boom.
They look the exact same.
Really?
Because when I saw her name, I was like, well, that's an interesting last name that not everybody has.
That only certain people have.
Siblings. And I pulled up her picture and I was like, you cannot not be related to Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
So for people that don't know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is, she's the main, she
like
created
writer
Fleet
and actor of
and,
Fleabag
and she
and
wrote the
Killing
play.
Eve.
And she wrote Killing Eve?
She did part of Killing Eve.
That's awesome.
Fuck.
Great.
No, I have to
sorry.
Double check. Because I'm pretty sure she won for best comedy for Fleabag and
best
drama
for
Killing Eve.
Oh,
isn't
that
make
sense?
Ridiculous?
That's amazing. But she wrote the, it is a one-person play, Fleabag, originally performed, I believe, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is known for their, like,
yes,
one-person
play. Yes, she is
play.
The writer for
she's
Killing Eve.
Amazing. She's killing it.
Also, she was L3 in Solo.
Yes, she was. Oh, she was L3, honestly, top 10 droids. A few others, but
never
top 10.
Never underestimate a droid.
Never underestimate a droid. Also, never underestimate the very beautiful Mandalorian. I love the Mandalorian.
Sidebar,
Mandalorian talk.
I got Mandalorian Baby Yoda stickers for work.
Can I, like, have 7 of
no,
them?
I'm damn it! Sorry. But literally, the like, title to buy them, like, on Smile Makers was Mandalorian the Child stickers, and I was like, help.
Because he's referred to as the child.
I know,
mean,
but it
even
was so funny to type that in being like
Mandalorian the
child. And they're so funny. I'll show you them later.
My favorite quote from The Mandalorian is, I want to see the child. I love it. Okay, anyway, getting back to
Emma. So yeah, pretty great with all the female involvement, like, in the crew.
Yeah,
and
really,
the
like,
writing,
top
directing.
Tier, you know, very
pretty awesome.
Front and center stuff.
Yeah.
So let's go through the cast.
Okay.
So the cast is Anya Taylor-Joy. We have Tanya Reynolds, Josh O'Connor. Oh, I was looking at, I was like, who's Austen?
Who's Austen?
We have Josh O'Connor, Johnny Flynn, Gemma Whelan, Mia Goth, the one, the only, Bill Nighy. We have Miranda Hart, who I know from, like, she's like a very British, she's a British comedian, comedic actress. Rupert Graves. I was like, who, why? What? That's amazing. But that's about 3/4 of the cast. I mean, the cast is very big. There's a lot of extras, as you see in, like, the trailer and stuff.
Because you have to think about it. You're going to get your typical Austin ballroom scenes and things like that. You're going to have a lot of extras.
Especially, like, if you want the Austin, like, society, you have to have, like, 10,000 people in one tiny town. For some, like, no reason.
It's like
a town that looks like it's made up of, like, 4 houses.
Tanya Reynolds is in Sex Education.
Oh, okay.
So that's a lot of gay. And there were a lot of other connections in there also that I was like, oh. So I didn't pull out one, but both of the main guys have been in different things with
the actors and, you know, on, the main within, actors, like, the community. Cool. That's awesome. Alrighty. So let's get into the trailer talk. I loved the pastel chic that was happening all over this color scheme. I loved the pastel, especially in the Jane Austen film. Just because of the fact that every single Jane Austen film I have watched, at least, is very, like, dark and drab. I mean, like, we're in the Regency era. We have to be sad all the time. And it's like, and, like, our clothes are representing our sadness, where it's all dirty and dark colors and blues and dark reds. It's like, I really like the pastel chic because of the fact that it's happy. Like, it's the Regency era, like, you know, rich, especially because it's...
Well, their family is rich.
Yeah.
They're fine.
They can afford, like, a baby blue dress. You know what I mean? It's like, it tells of society, and I think that's... I mean, I think that's what the book's about, right? It's all about, like, it's like a satire on society and how they are and everything. So I feel like having the costuming be happy and not drab and being like, I'm tired, oh, I'm gonna whisk away, like, type of thing. It was very nice to, and very, like, engaging when watching the trailer, at least. I really enjoyed it.
The opening scene sets up just a really good tone when... Like, you've got their, like, their, like, marriage scene, and then the person sneezes, and everybody's just like, what the hell? And then he says, and then the priest is like, in this time of man's great innocence, and Bill Nye's character, Mr. Woodhouse, Emma's dad, is like, innocence? He's like, what the fuck? What kind of a wedding are we at? We're like, people are sneezing all over the place. There's 5 people in this audience, and also, he can't speak.
He can't speak. I feel like this wedding scene is, like, like, the 3rd or 4th wedding scene that happens because of the fact that they're so, like, casual. I mean, like, they're generally more casual in this adaptation, I feel like, than usual. But I feel like this is a very much a speak on that this has happened many times before and that we can speak of. Because this is just ridiculous at this point.
Yep.
So, I did put little Bill Nye with, like, hearts next to his name because I feel
Thank you. I take that as, like, a personal, compliment on behalf of Bill.
I feel like, I don't know, in this trailer, I don't know if it's just because the last time we saw Bill, we're going to be referring to Bill Nye as just Bill.
Just Bill.
It's just easier. He's our friend. It's,
like, the whole episode is about him, so we can't do first and last name. That's a lot of time.
That's too much time. I think that because we haven't seen him much in movies lately, at least... I mean, I think the last one was Detective Pikachu, right, maybe.
And maybe not in this.
So, in this, like, light context or anything. So, it's not like he's, like, all happy-go-lucky type of guy.
Right, right.
So, it seems as though it's... It's just my screen lights up. Like, I felt happy watching this weird,
good
trailer.
I'm so glad.
Me too. I'm very glad happy.
And, like, if you think about it in terms of, like, most people, I feel like, if they haven't seen all of Clueless, have seen bits and pieces or, like, scenes and stuff, and, like, know that it's, like, a pretty light thing.
Yeah.
And, like, Cher, who's, like, Emma.
Yes.
Is so well-meaning, but yet so dumb.
She is the biggest idiot on the planet. However,
she doesn't,
It doesn't mean to be. She's just an idiot.
She's a nice person. She's just kind of dumb.
She's just, sometimes. Like... Which is the whole point of Clueless. She is just clueless. She is just this person who really just wants to do the good, but she doesn't understand what her actions actually mean.
Yes.
And especially when she's meddling in other people's business.
Lives, which is Emma.
Which is the whole point of Emma, like, literally. But it doesn't seem as though Emma, in this context, is an idiot. It feels like she's more... I put this down. It seems more sinister in nature and seems more manipulative in nature, whereas, like, she's doing this for her own personal gain, which I'm loving.
And that is more of, like, the novels.
Really?
Style
yeah,
too,
but
is
it's
that
more
Emma's
of a...
not like Emma sometimes can be a little clueless, but
she's more
she
doing this.
Mostly is doing this and is like mischievous and right. manipulative and knows what she's doing.
Especially like the cherry scene when she's or the food scene
the
when
strawberry
she's
or
the
something.
Strawberry or something, whatever. It's like the red fruit, which is
yes.
like essentially like a symbol for like lust desire type thing, you know, Adam Eve type of the red apple is root of all evil. I'm Jewish. I don't know. Something of that nature. Whereas like when she puts it in, she looks at the guy and then, you know, she's like engorging on this like fruit and it's very,
yes,
it's very low sex. I don't
sexual.
It's sexual. Yeah. And so, and he's getting flushed and he's like, I can't. And it's this manipulative thing being like, look at me, I'm seductive, I'm sexy.
I'm gonna make you squirm.
I'm gonna make you feel uncomfortable because this is for my own personal gain.
Because I want to.
Exactly.
That's Emma for you. What did you think about the trailer? Because there's like barely any dialogue. There's that opening scene, there's a few little scenes.
And at the
when
end.
Everybody's name, everybody calls Emma's name. And then there's the little like dialogue at the, that you can't really hear what they're saying, but you know that they're bantering her and Mr.
Oh, Martin. I liked it. Because
okay,
of the fact
yeah,
that,
so did
I liked it because of the fact that I feel like if you put any more dialogue in, you're going to ruin kind of the movie.
And, like, the pace of
the
trailer.
The pace of the
like
movie.
The trailer is, like, very fast-paced.
Oh,
like
my God. It's
slow
boom, 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 boom.
For that opening, and then it's, like, scene,
and I think
scene,
that it
scene,
did...
Scene.
I think it would only... I think the only setback is that the fact that it is fast and that the movie might be a little slower paced because it's in Austin. Unless they, like, really, like, amp up the editing. I feel like the movie will actually be a little bit slow-paced, which it might hinder it.
I don't know if they'll do it, though, because they,
yeah.
they're, like, especially if they're, I don't think they're going to make it super slow-paced, because, like, Emma is, like, a faster-paced, dialogue-heavy...
It's a quick book.
Book.
Even though it's thick and heavy, it's a book with a lot of dialogue. Okay. But I did like the lack of dialogue, just because it focused on
I thought it was good.
The movie rather
yeah.
than, like, kind of...
I didn't, and it
yeah.
was good because I feel like sometimes with, especially depending on how they're going to do the dialogue and if it's going to be very, like, similar to, like, pulling directly from
right.
Austin's writing, like, sometimes people can get hung up on the dialogue being like, oh, this is kind of going to be hard to understand or whatever.
Right.
And by not even putting it in there as much, you don't have to worry about
you don't
that.
Have to, exactly. I thought it was a good choice. I
thought it was good too.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was a fun trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved the violin. Loved that piece.
Right.
I always
so
love
fast.
When, because that piece is used a lot in, like, Regency era, like, those, like, the favorite might, I would think, use
yes.
it once or something.
Yes.
Because it's, like, kind of, and it's kind of, like, sinister, that get it. It's, like, very,
mm-hmm.
it's a minor tone, and it's,
and
you're, like, your mind is pacing just, like,
yeah.
the film. And I thought it was a great way to just focus on the music and understand
yeah.
that this is Regency. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is what you're gonna fucking get.
This is what you're getting. I really liked that end part where you can see her and Mr. Elton fighting, so one of the main
oh.
guy characters.
Yes.
Just the way that they were, like the physicality of it and how they were moving their bodies, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly how, like, Cher and he would have fought in Clueless. Like,
yes.
that's, like, the same, like, kind of movements and all that stuff.
Are they
so
still
great.
Step
So they're not step... They're, like, step-siblings, so there's no relation.
Just like in, like,
just
a thing.
Like in
but
Clueless.
It's still, like...
Yes.
But it makes more sense in that era where it's like...
Yep.
That,
there aren't
that
many people to choose from because you're not traveling.
Right, exactly. But, like, again, but it's still, like, it makes it a weirder context and, like, more normal. But
it's
I didn't realize that they were step-siblings as well. I just thought that was just, like, a choice that they made. I didn't realize it was interesting.
Yeah. But it was really good because you got that, like, tiny bit of, like, it's a little bit of, like, sibling... kind of
rivalry
fighting,
but
also at the same
like
time,
sexual.
There's a lot of, like, romantic stuff
and
behind it, and, like, a lot
yeah,
of, like,
there's a lot of, like, sexual
fighting.
Tension and,
yes.
like, romantic tension
yeah.
as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was really,
really
well
good.
Done.
It was good that we got to see that little bit of it,
because
that,
that I always like in books, not to have book talk, again, I always like in terms of, like, I don't know if I, would you consider this, like, a quote-unquote romance novel?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I
like that in, like, romance novels where, like, two characters are fighting and then, like, that is, like, more of a buildup of, like, sexual and romantic tension. I love that. Because
you should watch Pride and Prejudice again, okay? There's a lot of fighting leading up to them being like, wait, I do love you, actually.
Oh, my God, Mr. Darcy.
Yes! Colin Firth. We're going to watch it again.
I've seen the movie.
I know.
Just because I'm not a big fan of the book doesn't mean I'm not a big fan of Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy.
I know. It's just
how
so good.
Dare you? I thought the edits were really good, especially when the guy, like, threw his jacket and it was, like, a rock in a yes. water, which I thought was great, but...
what was your favorite edit, though? Mine was when Bill jumps off the stairs.
Yes, thank you! That's my last note! I cannot tell you. I feel like Bill Nye does that a lot in Stairs, in movies, that he just, like, hops off in, like, a... like, you know when you're, like, on a diving
board? And he's,
like,
not phased.
No, he's not phased,
jumps
and
off
he's, like, a
kind
board.
Of- kind of, like, slides a little to the right and just, like, keeps on walking with it. And I'm like,
I feel like
I would fall!
That's, like, a Bill Nye quirk, I would say. And honestly, like, I can watch
we'll
that
to,
2 seconds.
We'll have to look out for it.
We have to look out for it, and I feel like we have to... I really wish there's a GIF of it just so I can, like, save it for own personal use.
We could find one.
We could find... I'm sure that
I'm
someone
sure
has
exists.
Edited it. That was my last note, and I enjoyed the trailer a lot. I thought it was a great... fast-paced first trailer. I mean, it didn't need to have that. I watched the second one, and it's still it's still just as fast-paced, even though there's more plot in it. It's still just as good.
Okay.
But I feel like the first one does a better job of
engaging you.
Okay. Yeah,
that's good. Do you want to see this film?
I would see it on Amazon or like VOD.
Okay.
I don't think I would want to see it necessarily. I just don't know how I feel like I would get bored in the theater. I wouldn't mind going to see it in the theater. I just feel like I would better respond to it on Amazon, or like, because I feel like this is a film that's gonna be like on Amazon or like or on demand.
Yeah.
How about you?
Oh, I'm going to see this in theaters.
Bill Nye on the big screen.
And also I feel like just with like when you've got like you know your English novels, you're gonna see like the full landscape kind
then
of
the
thing
cinematography
would
probably be better.
And the cinematography will be really nice, and and Bill Nye on the big screen.
That's true. I mean, like, I won't be mad about seeing it. I just
okay,
feel
so
like
maybe I'd... if I dragged you there on a Tuesday.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Plans on a podcast.
Woo!
Woo!
All right.
So we're gonna take a small break, and then we'll be back to talk about Sometimes, Always, Never. All right. Talk to you soon.
And welcome back from our little break.
Welcome back. We're glad you're here.
Glad you're still here. So the next film of Bill's.
Our best pal Bill.
That we're going to chat about is the trailer for Sometimes, Always, Never.
Yes.
So this film has been shown in theaters in, like, the UK.
From 2019, and I feel like it's just making its way over to
the
independent cinemas from now. So
yes.
That's why it says, like, 2019.
Yeah.
Or, like, sometimes. Yeah. So.
So I didn't do anything about the behind the trailer facts for
this.
That's
fine. So I don't have the composer, but that's okay.
That's fine. I could look it up real quick while you're listening.
So the director is Carl Hunter. The writer is Frank Cottrell Baus. Which I hope I'm saying your name right. Do you want me to go through the cast first, then you can talk about the composer?
Hold on, I can pull it up right this second. There are two composers.
Oh.
Edwin Collins,
mm-hmm.
and he has done not very much. He's been in the music department for several things, but not like a main composer. And then the other person is Sean Reed, and this is also his first major film.
Okay. I mean, the music was pretty good from what I heard.
It wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard.
It
wasn't the worst, and it wasn't something that I was like, this is amazing.
This is, like, incredible. We have to talk about it. It was just, it was a good compliment to, like, the trailer.
Right.
So the cast was very small, which showed.
Yeah. Which isn't always a bad thing.
No, of course not. The cast is, and he's our top billed man today. No pun intended. is Bill Nye. He's our first guy, and this movie focuses really on his character, which is wonderful. If you want a full, like, 90-something minutes or more of
Bill Nye,
of our friend Bill, this movie will be for you.
This is the film for you.
So we have Bill Nye, Sam Riley, Alice Lowe, Jenny Agutter. In no sense.
We're keeping that.
Tim McErany, John Wesley, Oliver Sencup, Lewis Healy, Alan Williams, Ethne Brown, Alexi Say, and Andrew Shum. So that's their cast, which is really nice and short and sweet. And
I love it.
Let's get into the discussion.
All right.
So. Yes.
First note was Bill narrating so much of this trailer. Is that what it says? Bill Nye narration. That's right. Mine is in all caps. Bill narrating my dreams.
I was just like, this is Marianne's dream trailer.
This really was, like, he narrated for so much of it, and I was just like, all of Bill Nye's voice just get to me always. This is so great.
This is just soaking it in, all 10 hours of this trailer. It was
amazing.
Wonderful. It had a really nice cinematography, too, from what I mean. Like, it was really, like, well shot, especially at the beach scene.
The beach. That's what I was going to say. The beach scenes where he's standing with the umbrella.
Yeah,
and,
it just, like,
it
looked like a painting, almost. Like, the painting with the guy with the apple in front of his face.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what it reminded me of. So I feel
it's
like.
Really good.
It, like, also, like, the lighting, the purple lighting was very, like, Monet. And it was very art. It was very art. And it was very much an independent movie.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I liked, like, in the opening, the concept of when Bill says, like, you're in a world, there's, like, a separate world where you didn't make, like, when you make a choice, like, you're in this world, but there's a separate world where, like, everything else could have happened if you didn't make that choice.
Do you think that this film is going to deal a lot with, like, parallel worlds?
Because I don't know if it actually will, though.
Yeah.
I think they're just using that as, like, a way to get you thinking. Like, you'd write that on the back of a book cover.
Which is a wonderfully done way to draw you in.
Yeah, because then I was interested.
And I thought it was a great drawing.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me, like, the script and the way the people acted reminded kind of me of, like, a Wes Anderson film.
Mm.
Because of the fact that everyone was very, like, I don't want to say proper. It wasn't proper. It was more, like, rigid.
Yeah.
But in, like, an acting way where it was very much where you have a very set script. You don't have really much room to change.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, these are the words you have to say.
Right.
Type of thing. When I was like, okay, so this makes sense. It's not. Or maybe it was, like, just except for Sam Riley's character,
right.
I believe.
Right. Yeah.
Was very much the one that was, like, not, like, a robot. But, like, a robot in a good way. I don't want to say, like, they were, like, acting, like, this. They're, like, very much Bill Nye, how he acts, where he's, like, saying, like, I know my certain thing. Like, he speaks the way the words are written, kind of a sort of way, which I thought was really interesting. And that's why it reminded me of a Wes Anderson film, because they always have those types of speech and syntax is the word I'm trying to say. So they always have that kind of way of speaking. So I thought it was really interesting.
In general,
yes,
I felt like there was a lot going on, and it was a little hard to follow.
That's one of my notes. I didn't know if this was a murder mystery, if this was a road trip film. I didn't know.
Right. I agree.
I think that they could have, in the technical aspects of this movie, I think that they kind of just needed to let the trailer play out as its own, rather than trying to be like, this is what the movie is about.
Right, and I felt like the trailer was long, and it felt long. Felt like you were sitting there for a long time, and I was getting a lot of information, and it wasn't all connecting, and
I was legitimately confused.
What is happening?
I thought halfway through, I don't know what's going on. That's literally one of my notes. I mean, because it was like, oh, it's a murder mystery, and it's like, oh, no, it's not. Because I guess I got really stuck on that idea that it's kind of exploring, like, a parallel
and at first I wasn't sure if that's where we were going with it either, so I was like, are we in this world? Are we in a different world?
Right.
I don't know what's happening. Like, for an example, like, what I wrote was, like, I really liked the Scrabble stuff that they were talking about, but it was a lot to fit into the trailer.
That's why it reminded me of a Wes Anderson film, because it doesn't make any fucking sense, but it works also at the same time. Like, the Scrabble stuff, like, you can tell, because at the end of the trailer, like, he's made up of words.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, obviously Scrabble's gonna be a big part of this. Like, obviously, maybe it's, like, he played this with his son. That's why he's, like, really interested in playing with Scrabble and stuff. And most likely what it might be, actually. But, like,
yes.
I feel like a lot of the stuff, like, will make sense once you see the film, but it was maybe too fantastical in nature to, like,
and
really...
And just, like, too much to try to jam into
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Because this is literally the first time I've heard of this film, and I tend to do look into more independent cinema than not. And I feel like this would be, like, if it was maybe, like, highly reviewed or highly rated, it would have been talked about more. You know, if it was maybe
yes.
done in a proper sense, in terms of the trailer, because yeah. I haven't seen the movie. So I can't say,
right.
can't say anything.
Right. And, like, another spot where, like, he was talking to Sam Riley's character about, like, the buttons on the jacket, and he was like, this is how it goes, sometimes, always, never.
Yeah.
And those, and I was like, oh, I love a good connection to a title, but
yeah.
you didn't need to put it in the trailer.
You did not, because I feel like it would have been more satisfying
if it was just in the
exactly.
movie.
Exactly.
I was like, no!
Right. It's like, no, I want
to... Why did you put this here?
It's like, no!
And it was, like, in the middle of the trailer, too, so it's
yeah,
like,
so you couldn't even,
literally, like, eliminating any kind of importance from this.
I feel like it would have been so much better if it was, what's it called? If it was, like, at the end of the trailer, because
right.
then it would have been a little bit more,
like
heavy-handed or, like, kind of close to a book.
Yes.
I felt like this was also much like you're being told a bedtime story and you're, like, half asleep. So you're kind of getting, like, the information
you're
you needed.
Part of it, and
getting,
then
sometimes
you're making
you're like,
half of it up.
Because you're just, like, what the fuck is going on? But I'm also tired, but I'm also, like...
Mm-hmm.
But it could also have been just tired watching the trailer, so I don't
no.
know. No? Okay, good
no.
to know, because I watched this late at night, and I was like, what? Okay, cool.
Okay, Bill.
Okay, this is like I'm being told a story, go to sleep, and I'm like half in, half out, so I was just like, okay. I thought what Bill did, though, was good, and I thought his humor was definitely like in it, especially with the toothbrush scene with the Daleks, and I was... laughing my ass off at that. He's like, do you want the Cybermen
or
the Daleks?
Exterminate.
And I was just like, as a old school, I don't want to say old school, as a Doctor Who fan, it was very fun to bring in like little elements of Doctor Who and like weird British, I wouldn't say it's like very mainstream culture, but
yeah, but it's like this is a British,
British
film.
It's like the wispy winds off the cliffs. It's more like
right.
Doctor Who.
Yes.
Doctor Who paraphernalia in toothbrushes. It's like, if it was an American film, it would be, like, Marvel's, like,
right.
Captain America and
like,
Iron Man
do you
or something.
Want, right, do you want Superman or
Captain
America?
America.
And here it was like, do you want Daleks?
Or Cybermen, which is, like, such a...
What?
But it's,
also,
it's
so
part,
good.
It's big part of the
works,
Doctor
so.
Who lore, and it's also
yep.
a big part of the Torchwood lore. More so the Doctor Who, and Torchwood just brings it off. Anyway, not about the Torchwood.
Anyway.
The title cards I really liked. You mentioned it briefly with
yeah.
like the Scrabble pieces,
yes.
which I thought was a lot
was
of
really
fun.
Good.
A way to bring in the Scrabble stuff.
Yeah.
Do
you have any more notes? Because I have wrapping up.
I have one more, and
okay.
I don't have any wrap up. This is just
okay.
The music. Okay. Was that a melolot? Like you know, like the it's called a melodica or melodica, where it's like you blow air into it and you play the piano at the same time. That's the
oh,
only way.
Oh, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure they use like the weirdest instruments during this. Like, they're like, you know what we need? Like, they took like
a Glockenspiel.
A Glockenspiel and a melodica, and we got to make it the weirdest. This trailer make even weirder. I was
yeah.
just like,
They were like, what are some cheap instruments?
A banjo. Something you blow into to make the piano go. And that's my last note because, I mean, I'll let you say your, like, kind of wrap-up stuff and then we'll...
So I wanted to see, like, because I knew that this had come out in the UK, so I wanted to see, like, how it had been received. So I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. Has an 87%.
Damn.
So, like,
all right.
For good.
For critics
yeah.
like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the... But how they listed it there was, in parentheses, the second part of the name of the title is, I guess maybe they chopped it off for the
American
US,
audience,
but it's triple word score is the end of it, so it's really bringing in the
That would have been
Scrabble.
So, god damn it, US, that would have been so good.
Right? I was like, come on!
Or, because it's a triple...
Triple word score.
Is it known as triple word score, or is
no,
it sometimes
so
always
never
triple
word? Triple word score. I think they could have just made a triple
word. I think a triple word score
would have
been probably
fine.
Better,
but like whatever.
That would have been such a better title just because of the fact that
yeah.
Scrabble, I
and
guess, is a
I,
huge
can
fucking
I,
part.
Can I tell you why it's a really big part of this movie, because I read the description.
They kind of explained it in, like, the... Okay, I'm okay with it. As long as everyone else is okay.
It's literally just in the description, and, like, it's what should have been told in the trailer anyway. Okay. So what happened was that Bill's character and his oldest son, the one they're looking for, were playing Scrabble, and there was, like, a really big game of Scrabble, and the son walks out in the middle of it because he's losing, or, like, walks out.
Oh, he gets, like, frustrated, and then he walks out,
and then they never see him again.
So it is a murder mystery type thing.
So, like, Bill's character's pretty sure that he did get murdered, and somebody else is like, no, maybe he just moved away and he's not talking to you anymore.
That's what I was getting, but I couldn't quite understand, and I didn't read the description
because I was like, oh.
That makes the trailer...
That makes so much more sense as to, like, why we were talking about Scrabble for so much.
And this is kind of my issue with, like, trailers like these that don't give any information, but, like, sometimes you really
need a little bit more information.
You need a ground... especially if you're fantastical in nature, like or fantastical elements, I should say, where it's like, oh, you have this and you have that going on, we have this, and it feels like very effervescent. You have to ground it in some sort of have an anchor to ground it in, like the sun walking away during the middle of a Scrabble game. And that's why you get so hyper-focused on playing Scrabble. Or you need to have that just so the audience can understand, being like, okay,
what is the significance of all the Scrabble? Like, and also, why is he looking for him and what is happening?
Who is this Sam Riley character? Come on.
Who is everybody?
Who are you? Yeah. Okay. So that, yeah, because one of my notes was just Scrabble. I know.
Also, as like a sidebar, there's another movie called Never Rarely... Sometimes Always. So when I was trying to look for this movie, like, that kept showing up too. So at one point I was like, what's this? And I was watching it and I was like, this is not the correct film.
This is not the right film, no.
But it was really confusing because on YouTube when I was searching Sometimes Always Never, that was coming up. That kept coming up. And I was like, fuck you! YouTube, do better!
Do better, YouTube. This is a call to action. So will you be watching this theaters, VOD, Netflix?
Maybe, like, on VOD, like, unless, same. Like, it would be nice to see another trailer for this. Like, I would really like to see, like, a second, like, trailer.
That
and
has
see
more,
if
maybe, plot heavy.
And see if it, like, pulls me in.
Yeah. I definitely see it. I'm sure that, again, I'm pretty sure that all, like, UK films or independent cinema goes more on Amazon Prime. So I definitely, like, watch that. This is definitely, like, a before-bed movie. Like, get myself, like, a nice tea.
Yes.
Comfy pajamas. And
how
then
very
some
British.
Tea and Bill Nye. I feel like it
Are you
going to
watch it while it rains also?
I might. Who knows? It's been raining for 2 fucking months anyway.
I know.
But I feel like this is definitely something to kind of just watch in the comfort of your own home. From the trailer that is coming. So definitely VOD for me.
Same.
Great.
I would love to watch it, though, to just hear Bill Nye talking to me.
Especially
because
he's... Especially because he's a main character in this film, so he would just be like, 99% Bill Nye. So.
Talking? That's fine. But yeah.
Yeah. Great talk.
This has been a great bonus episode.
Honestly, one of our best, honestly.
Agreed.
Let's do some business, I think. All right. As I click my pen.
Closed. I know, that was a very, like, finality kind of thing that just happened.
We're done. We have to catch a movie.
We do.
So if you want to hear more Bill Nye talk, because we try and pull a connection to every trailer we can to Bill Nye, and if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe to us. We post episodes every other week, and you can catch us in iTunes. You feel free to subscribe and rate us 5-star for more visibility, and feel free to talk to your friends about this podcast and share it with everyone, because the more trailer discussion, the better.
Yeah, because that just helps you see better movies and, like, see different movies that are out there that you maybe never would have heard of.
And, like, find your niche and find your movie niche, because we all know you have a niche.
You just maybe didn't find it yet.
Like a scratch. Okay. And if you want to listen to us anywhere else, we have many other hosting sites like...
Sorry, I didn't know Kelsey was going to point to me to do it. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, got scared. So yes, lots of other platforms to listen on. You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Play, and Overcast. And then if you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us at...
Too Many Trailers on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. That's at TWO Many Trailers.
And then if you have longer thoughts, you want to talk to me about Bill Nighy, I'm always up for it.
Always email us about Bill Nighy, no matter what.
Email us. It's going to be a longer answer. Mm-hmm. So you can email us at toomanytrailers@gmail.com. So it's TWOmanytrailers@gmail.com.
And before we end our wonderful episodes, we always make sure we leave you with a parting wisdom of, please do not judge movies by their trailers. Leave that up to us. Have a great one ever.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.